Hello, mech fans around the world and those that aren't fans yet, and welcome to Mobile Suit Fandom, the podcast where you two largely inept but prone to love co-hosts Fuzzy, that'd be me, and Chris, watch, summarize, critique, and make fun of the entirety of the Gundam franchise from beginning to end. This is episode 12, and we'll be talking about episode 12 of Mobile Suit Gundam 0079, The Threat of Zeon, in which we fall in love all over again. Moyagare, and take it away.
Hello, welcome back to Mobile Suit Fandom.
I can't laugh every time you do it, it's dumb.
Nah, you're gonna do it anyway, because we shift gears, and here's a little look behind the curtain.
There's no fucking warning, it's just, I'm silent for too long.
Yes, if he were conversing, usually for about a minute on average, and then there's a lull in the conversation, and I just say, hello everyone,
hello.
And welcome back to Mobile Suit Fandom, and so he laughs, because I'm not warning him at all.
It's also just the way you say hello is this fucking gets me.
That's fair.
I'm
Welcome to episode 12 of Mobile Suit Gundam, and I'm still not sure of the episode number for this podcast we're doing.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna, at this point, we're gonna, episodes 2 and 3 are gonna be 2 separate episodes, so we'll just be the same.
I don't fucking know, man. Either way, so, I'm Fuzzy.
I am Chris.
And we're talking about episode 12, as said, The Threat of Zeon.
It's not ominous, though. Like, it's fine.
Yeah, nah, it's probably... I think the biggest threat is they have too many hugs to give, really.
Just, it's just mild physical discomfort from all that.
Like, you know, they're a little too huggy, and so people are a little like, eh...
Like some of them friendly. Do the kiss on each cheek thing, the umbis, I think it is called.
I am not enough of an elitist to know that.
I have, okay, how dare, I was corrected not too long ago.
Oh, excuse me.
Because I just say that, I think my exact words were, you know that French thing where you smooch them on both the cheeks.
Hey man, that's what I call it. That's what I call it from where I'm from.
We're from the same place.
That's the joke, Chris.
Well, not really. Hold on. We're from pretty different places, just not that far away.
Yeah, I mean, Texas is a big place. It happens.
Also, you live in, you barely live in Texas.
Nah.
Yeah, you know what? That's a different conversation.
That's a different debate. either way.
Me being salty about people from cities actually saying, Texas isn't that bad. Fuck you, Texas is terrible.
I remind you where I went to high school, chuckle fuck.
Fine.
I'm wearing that shirt now, even. Fuck you. So.
I'm breaking up. We're just podcast over.
So this time on Gundam, the episode starts. We get some more subtle changes to the opening crawl. Still same result, you know, half the population's dead, but there's some new details thrown in there. And the episode proper begins with Garma's funeral starting up. Degwin, meanwhile, is in his room listening to Garma's last message on his data pad. Fun fact also, because this was made in the late 70s, despite it being a advanced data pad, the information is printed on a small plastic sheet.
It looks like if anybody here was unlucky as me and had like those super old computers with like the 5-inch black
actual floppies.
It looks like the stuff that's inside those little cartridges.
I think that's what they were going for, but also like what?
Also, when I saw it, I was like, so that stuff is flimsy as fuck.
Yeah.
And when you finish watching,
it just spits it out.
And I'm like, No.
Why?
It's not in any protective covering. Like, it's just going to go bad. It's going to get fucked up.
Yep. Yeah. Like, if your table is metal and a little too staticky, it'll fucking clear the data. Just done. Like,
just done.
Fucking, I hope Degwin only has, like, wood surfaces. Or not, that's even still too staticky. Motherfuckers gotta have, like, rubber tables.
Everything's just grounded all the time.
Yeah. Jesus. So, Degwin's being really sad, and Caecilia enters the room, and she's kind of empathizing, but not really, but then is like, yo, we got shit to do, and he's like, I know. And so they go out to the funeral proper and take their seats as the crowd chants, Zabi, Zabi, because, cults of personality. Meanwhile, on another ship, in another place, a man enters a bridge. This ship, the little communication guy on this ship is like, we just found the Trojan horse. And this man, with a glorious mustache, turns to his wife. He's like, what do you think, Hamal? And she goes, I think it would be a good time to avenge Garma. And the mustached man is like, I don't know, that's a little hasty. And the comms officer points out that their Zanzibar ship could catch up with them, but the rest of the fleet is in re-entry craft, and it might be hard for them. And he's like, they're not going to escape me. I'm just, pumping the brakes a little. And he keeps flirting with his wife, and we see how charming and intelligent this mustachioed man is. And we don't know his name yet.
Quick pause.
Yeah?
Fucking love this dude.
You might be able to tell, dear listener, from both of our tones of voice, the moment he entered the scene, we like this guy.
He's older. He's just like, he's chill. He's competent. He's just trying to do a good job. He loves his wife.
I'm gonna get to him in a little bit because I. He's real good. We'll talk about him in a minute. We'll get to him.
We haven't even got to the best. Sorry. Let's get through the riffraff before we get.
So he's charming and he's intelligent.
I
just want to
say, I have a salt shaker on my desk. Don't ask me why. But I have three times put salt in my hand and then licked it off my hand, and that's not. I shouldn't just eat salt.
You shouldn't like. I would maybe avoid just eating during the pot. Like, I've got an open bag of, I'm not gonna admit to that.
Is it Cheetos?
No, it's coleslaw. It's just coleslaw.
Just a bag of coleslaw.
It's not normal. It's like the carrot and broccoli slaw. No dressing. I just opened the bag.
No dressing.
And am eating it.
I mean, it's healthy, though.
Yeah, but also I eat salad out of the bag, and...
Yeah, it's because you're a rabbit.
Apparently, the mask has come off. Yes, I am actually a hamster. I've been a hamster this entire time.
You thought it was a deep-ass voice for a human person. Just wait till you see it coming out of a fucking hamster.
God, remember that fucking garbage movie about, like, the secret agent gerbils? Anyway, guinea pigs. My bad, they were guinea pigs, not gerbils. That's why it was
back
called
to,
G-Force.
You know, back to the reality that is fucking the Universal Century.
Okay, I need to briefly address that high-pitched noise you made when I named the sin of that show. It's like he knew its name, that piece of shit. That was what that noise was. Anyway.
How dare you?
Meanwhile, Amuro is in the dark of his room repairing a spare computer for the Gundam, and Fra
will not look up.
Nope, doesn't look up as Fra enters with some lunch and is like, hey, you should eat before it gets cold. are you okay? And he's like, yeah, I'm fine. Haro rolls up and is like, brainwaves are slow. He's not okay. He's super also, not okay.
Also, like, how the fuck do you... How do Minovsky particles not fuck up your apparently global MRI, you piece of shit? Like, I don't understand how you can't fucking get radar for 3 fucking feet. This dumb little ball that doesn't seem to do anything can read brainwaves.
Because Haro is actually the protagonist of this series.
No, Mirai, god damn it.
And he is made of plot and fuck.
Okay, he's a plot fuck.
And you want to know what I think the worst part about Haro is? Mm. He's in more Gundam series than Amuro. Or any...
In Unicorn, the protagonist has a replica of him.
I shit you not, in Gundam 00, they had a different universe, they have Haros.
How dare.
Why are Haros a universal constant in Gundam? I don't fucking know, audience. It's like, I want like to die.
It's like Final Fantasy, it's fine.
Yeah, fuck it. Yeah, sure. Because that also makes an equal amount of sense that chocobos and cactars are in Final Fantasy. Hey. It doesn't make sense.
Hey, Fuzzy?
Fuck me.
Fuck you!
Exactly.
How dare you? I didn't come to my fucking house!
I like chocobos, and I... chocobos. I like cactars. I think cactars are fucking hilarious. I also find it amusing that apparently they're edible. People eat them, and I love the memes of people taking their face on, like, you ate my brothers. It's great, because they look kind of like you just started eating their friends in front of them. Anyway, Gundam.
We've gotta stop this, because we actually like this episode.
Yes. So, Fra leaves, taking taking Haro with her. And then Amuro gets up.
Let's get away from this tower, please.
Yeah. Amuro gets up and is already just moving. Like, kudos to the animation here. He doesn't look right. And so he gets up and he stands next to this table and just eats these sandwiches. Oh. Staring into nothing.
Yep.
Just staring. And it's real fucking weird.
I think it's when they come back to him later, it gets real freaky.
Oh,
right?
yeah, that's, yeah, later. We get to that. So, meanwhile, on the bridge, we hear that White Base, not in great shape right now. Bright is like, why the hell did we let it get this fucking bad, my dudes? The kids barge in, vacuuming and screaming, and Bright snaps at them, and so Kiki naturally cries, because this episode wants to annoy me a little bit before we get back to the good shit, and I just didn't care about this child. Bright feels bad, though, and he's like, I'm gonna take a fucking break. You guys do the things I told you to do. Fucking I'm sorry, kid. And then he bails. So Bright goes to his room, fucking deep V's, his uniform, chills in his chair, when, who comes a-knockin'? Mirai. Comes for a little visit. And they share some words, and you can feel some tension. Distinct tension, even. And, yeah. But then the view screen starts ringing, and it is the loudest and most anxiety-inducing ring I have ever heard or imagined, and I... And Bright runs to pick it up, because I feel like he'd go insane if it kept ringing, and just would kill everyone in their sleep. And Sayla is like, Zeon's on our fucking tail, my guy. And he's like, okay.
Zeon can wait! Mariah about to get some!
Nope, he's like, I'm gonna fucking go, I'll be on the bridge in a hot second.
Fucking Zeon, that's the secret evil plot of Zeon, is just to cock-block people.
Cock-block everyone. The madness of them.
Look, she is the only pilot of this fucking 12 city block sized fucking monstrosity. She needs fucking relax a little bit.
Like, she needs just a back massage and a nice get it, wine.
Just something. Just. She deserves all the good things.
Yeah.
Fuck off for a second, Zeon.
Yeah, no.
Fuck off.
Fuck you. Meanwhile, at the funeral, the 21-gun salute, which is using artillery right now, is going off, and the three siblings briefly discuss Char and what he's been up to, and they're like, probably went home, and Caecilia calls over one guy, whispers something in his ear, and he's like, yes, ma'am, and walks off screen. We'll see how...
That won't come back up.
That, yeah, that probably was irrelevant and weird. So, cut back to White Base. They're taking fire from the Zanzibar and its little fleet of reentry craft. The chase is on, and they fly into a fucking thunderstorm, which freaks everyone out, because everyone here grew up in space.
Yep. What the fuck? Why is there electricity in the air?
Yeah. none of them have seen thunder and lightning before, so children are freaking out.
They're very,
out.
Very frightening.
Yes. Me. Galileo, Galileo, Galileo. Let me go. And this was the point where I realized that, yeah, none of these kids have seen lightning before. We cut to Amuro, who is staring out his window blankly as thunder and lightning are going, and he's having trauma flashbacks to Iselina pointing a gun at him. Poor fucking kid. Meanwhile, we cut back to the Zanzibar village, and Mustache Man points out that, man, this is just lightning, everyone chill the fuck out for 5 minutes, goddamn. He's much cooler about it, but it wasn't worth me going just, full paragraphs about how wonderful
whenever,
he is.
Whenever we say what he's saying, just imagine it being, like, 10 times better than how we're saying it.
Everything he says is cool, calm, polite. And
he's a decent guy. Like
he's just a good dude.
If he was in charge of White Base, we wouldn't have half these fucking problems.
They would have already won, frankly.
They would have been done.
So.
But I'm glad he's a bad guy.
Yep.
For reasons.
So White Base is having trouble maintaining speed and altitude, so they decide to park the fucker, and Mirai lands there again via Mirai powers.
Because she's fucking good at her job.
She's good at her fucking job. She does it. It's rough, but they land it, and Bright orders the suits to sortie. Ryu fucking kicks down Amuro's room with a, the fuck are you doing? We have to get going. And Amuro's not here right now.
No! Because... Amuro's gone! There's no one behind there! Amuro's sitting in his fucking bed, no fucking pupils or irises. He's a goddamn zombie person.
Yeah, he's just white eyes. Like, at first I was like, oh, because the first shot is from kind of far away, and it's like, oh, they just didn't bother. No, then they zoom full in, no pupils.
Just whites. Just static.
Yeah.
It's just a fucking... The insect races on the television. It's gone. There's just no one back there.
Yeah, fucking the tiny alien that pilots Amuro's body has left. Gone. And it
turned the power off? Walked out.
Just walked out. Ryu naturally.
Left the blinds up?
Yeah. Ryu naturally pulls out the cross and begins speaking exorcism phrases in order to purge the evil from Amuro's body.
Or he would have if there wasn't already a tried and proven tactic for superiors interacting with Amuro.
Oh, you're right. There's a tried and true tactic of getting Amuro to snap the fuck out of it. So Ryu does the natural thing and slaps the shit out of him.
Also, here's my... Okay, I know I can't... I'm not gonna get into it like I did last time because my heart can't take it. But... Ryu is, like, three times the size of Bright, right?
Easily.
This slap is nothing. Bright has a black hole in his fist. It's
well,
proof.
Okay, I think they were coming from different places. Bright was coming at Amuro like, what the fuck did you just say to me? I'm gonna slap your shit now because you have come into my home and shit on my desk. So today's the day I lay some shit down on you, Amuro, and then slap the fuck out of him. Ryu
is like, dude, we gotta go.
Ryu could have done the same thing just with a, like, vigorous shake,
but we know the slap works.
We know the slap works, so he gives him a bit of a slap, and Amuro's like, oh, yeah, shit, sorry, you didn't have to whack the hell out of me, my bad.
It's not like I was checked out and being creepy as fuck.
Dave's not here, man.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was real fucking creepy. Jesus Christ. So, meanwhile, Zanzibar is searching for White Base because apparently lightning storms and Manovsky particles just make White Base invisible to every... radar don't work, so fuck it.
Again, this craft the size of Texas.
Yep.
Cannot be spotted.
So, they can't use radar, so they're kind of shit out of luck. Amuro, meanwhile, is putting on his suit in the locker room, and Ryu is, like, very visibly worried about him.
Yep, because Ryu's a good guy.
Yeah, and so then Amuro puts on his helmet and looks up and notices Ryu didn't leave. He just kind of hid behind the door frame. And he's like, oh shit, I don't think Amuro is up to it today. Like, physically unable. And then Amuro, like, puts up his little visor and is like, man, I don't know what happened, but my suit's really suffocating today. And then we cut to a commercial. And we come back. There we go. He practiced off screen. And White Base White Base is still hiding. It's pretty good. But then one of the little capsules uses magnetism to notice them. I'm just repeating what they said. I didn't understand. It's like, yes, the magnetic signature is undeniable. It's like, what? Oh, do you just fucking put a magnet outside, and if it starts sticking to shit, then you probably passed by something metal?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they call back to the Zanzibar, that little capsule, and it's like, we see the mustache man answer, and then we finally learn his name. Lieutenant Ramba Fuckmothering Ral. Certain elements of that name may have been added by your host. I plead the fifth.
Oh, excuse me.
Ramba, just starts fucking laying into him immediately. No, like, none of this, like, oh, we found him, let's start fucking shooting. No debate, yep. No Char nope. Being snarky, just, alright, fuck him up. And
just does his fucking job.
Amazing.
Well.
Yep. So, White Base starts shooting back. Amuro, meanwhile, freaking the fuck out. Ryu physically dragging him places. We cut back to the Zanzibar, and Ramba has suited up, and Hamon is...
Ooh, what? I wonder why would he be suiting up?
Weird. So Hamon is like, man, you know, I really like it when you're being a commander in your chair instead of having to go out there and fight. But, you know, I kind of like the suit, too. And they just flirt, because they're a good couple. Cute. Yeah, they're just a good couple. Like, that's it. That it's their everything I want to grow up to be. Especially that mustache. I will never grow a mustache that good. My genetics...
Nor shall I. And I've got, like, decent facial hair, yep. And that mustache puts me to shame.
That mustache puts everything to shame. Normally, I'm not big on, like, the, you know, whole masculinity thing. Lots of ways to exhibit you being a dude. Ramba puts all of that shit to fucking shame forever, because he's Ramba Rao, and fuck you. Yep. That mustache alone devastates. I also want to quickly take a moment to... Nah, I'm gonna tell that later. I'll get to it later. I've got a gift for you, Chris.
Oh, God.
A gift of sorts. Anyway. So, he walks out to the mech hangar, and he walks up to this big blue, spiky, looks kind of like
this Zaku. Shovel Knight looking motherfucker right here. I love him so much, Fuzzy. My beautiful spiky pauldron boy. Yeah. I know it hasn't happened yet. Can we talk about his weapon?
Let's wait to wait. I want it to build in you, Chris. We can't.
Okay.
We have
He's
to
got
have
this cool chest thing.
Yep. We the have to give the audience foreplay before diving into the main course. So
got big boots on.
He's got a lot. Okay.
The he's big so pretty.
This big blue Zaku thing is really cool looking. Hold, wait. Pump the brakes, my friend. Pump your brakes. Because, as you'll notice further down this summary, I've got a thing!
Okay. Alright.
Okay. Sorry. Sorry, audience.
All right. All right. I'm just out I'll cool my jets.
Yep.
Just...
So bright.
I'm weepy over here.
Yeah, no, it's real fair. we're getting through this really quickly because we both really like this episode, so we're getting through its summary very fast. So, Bright's wondering why the suits haven't fucking launched, and Amuro is, well, you know, tired and traumatized. But they make him launch anyway.
He literally says, just launch him anyway.
Yes, like, literally, Ryu... puts him in the cockpit and
he is unresponsive.
It. Like
he is, this child is freaking the fuck out.
That kid is closer to dead than anything else, or unconscious. Like,
look, I am not a fan of Amuro's. Amuro has his reasons for being a shitty brat. I don't even. If I were in his situation now as a goddamn adult, I probably would not fare very well. But, like, as much as I don't really care about Amuro that much, I'm upset that no one fucking cares about Amuro right now.
Right? Like,
just
Jesus.
I mean, I guess the other pilot is, yeah. But not enough to, like, say something. Say, he's comatose. He's checked out. When you got there, he had no pupils or irises.
Yep.
He is on medical leave now.
Yeah, he really is. Yeah, he's looking real rough. And they literally Bright goes, just launch him. And Sayla goes, hey buddy, you're in the catapult. And so Bright's like, just launch him. So Sayla just launches the catapult, literally just flinging the Gundam out.
It wakes him up a little bit.
It wakes him up because it fucking belly slides 30 feet before, or 30 relative feet.
Yeah.
For the record, in case it's not obvious, when we say feet, we're acting like the Gundam isn't 130 feet tall. We're acting like it's 6 feet tall. Bear with us.
It makes it easier on us.
Because I'm not doing that mental math. I barely do math. I'm a fucking writing major, for God's sake. I'm, like, anti-math. Yeah, so...
it's about to happen.
So, he fucking belly slides and then gets just fucking whipped by some odd metal object.
Oh, what could that be?
And then we pan to the other side and we see a pan up to the cliff. And we get a fucking money shot of two Zakus flanking this glorious big blue boy. And you fucking see him.
Oh, he's so pretty.
Bright just... immediately is like, fucking shoot him.
And yeah, rightfully so.
Yeah, and so the cliff fucking...
Oh, fuck, that one's got cuts of paint job! Get it! Get it, get it, get it, get it! Get it.
Basically, yeah. The battle begins in earnest with Ramba, fucking up Amuro. Like,
just freaking...
It goes beyond just, like, oh, Amuro is having a bad day.
This he is, holds court on this motherfucker's chest.
He it's... comes with receipts. Fucks him up.
It's about to...
Yeah. He fucking is like he uses more than anything. He uses his two Zakus, and he's like, all of them shoot. They all shoot. By the way,
they have tactics.
They have tactics. I don't know if you've noticed this, but this blue guy shoots too.
From his fingers.
Yeah, yeah. From his
finger guns.
Fucking fingers.
Which, like, as much as, like, you were all here. I lost my fucking shit at head cannons. I don't care about these finger guns. I'm fine. It's cool. It's whatever. I don't care.
Yeah, the fingers are fine, but,
just put it on a blue Zaku and we're fine.
Yep,
I'll just guess it's good. It's okay.
It's fine. All of this is fine. Nothing weird here. But yeah, he just starts laying into Amuro. They bring out grenades for the first time. It's called a clacker. It's real cool.
Amuro has a bazooka for a moment.
Yeah, until Ramba.
Mm-hmm. What does he do?
Plays his little bit of a trump card here.
What does he
so Amuro pulls up his bazooka, and Ramba's like, let's see how you deal with the heat rod, and pulls out this large metal whip.
That once again, not a rod.
yeah.
I give zero fucks, because this is cool. It's a fucking tentacle. It's a metal tentacle.
It's an electro whip. He fucking wraps it around the bazooka and zaps it, causing it to fucking explode.
He said heat rod, and I'm like, oh cool, it's gonna get real hot. Yes, that's not it though.
It's gonna get real hot in here.
Because I am sweating. As he wraps this fucking whip around Amuro's grenade launcher, yoinks it away from him, sends lightning down the goddamn tentacle, blows up the grenade launcher. Boom! Ah, bazooka, not grenade launcher, but whatever. I'm just in love. I'm in love. Yep. I can't.
Whew. And whew. Yeah, so Kai
has an electric.
Electric fucking whip. It's so fucking good. Also, by the way, in literally every game where the goof appears, that fucking electric whip is the tits.
You just said the word.
Like electric whip?
No, you said goof.
Oh, yes.
I thought we were holding.
I'm sorry. It slipped out.
I hate it when the goof slips. Also, I thought it was called a gauff for some reason.
I don't know. I always call it a goof. That might actually be wrong. I don't know how. Goofu. Goof. Yeah.
Anyways.
So, fucking Kai Mant doesn't manage to fucking surprise Ramba with a cannon shot, and the tank also rolls out, starts shooting, and Ramba's like, hey, Zakus, fuck him up. And just...
he gives them orders that isn't just run in to die?
Yeah. Fuck him up. Amuro then runs at Ramba and gets his ass kicked. Does pull a good shot. He fucking gut punches the blue Zaku.
Well, the problem is there's no guts in there.
Yeah, that is where Ramba is, to be fair. Like, Ramba okay, probably well, felt that. Like, oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
Fucking gut punches that thing. Tries to slice him, but gets blocked by the shield. And then we get the line from Ramba that I've been waiting for. This is no Zaku, boy. No Zaku. Which, fun fact, dub thing. In Japanese, they say, no Zaku, my friend, no Zaku. I like the boy better.
it's more insulting.
Yeah, because this isn't some fucking punk-ass char shit. This isn't, oh, I took a Zaku and threw a fucking fin on it and repainted it. No. This is no Zaku.
This has shoulder spikes.
It's...
and an electric ween.
So the goof, as it's called...
it's shocking.
Fucking Dex Amuro dodges some cannon and tank shots, and then it's like, alright, we're getting out of here. And yep. The goof backwards jumps over a hill. Then the two Zakus do the same, and they just airlift out.
Hey, wait, hold on. They didn't die?
None of the Zakus died.
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh. How? I don't understand. That's not...
Yeah.
Zakus can't back up, right? Like, I thought that was...
they are fully capable of it, as Ramba Dicking Rao will show you. So they airlift out, and, they get into the Zanzibar, and Haman is like, turn on the lights, and they turn on these giant blinding lights.
They turn themselves into a UFO.
Yeah.
This is something out of fucking, Fifth Element? The fucking thing comes down?
Yeah, yeah.
I love this episode.
And then they just fucking bail.
They're just like,
it's like,
all
we're
right,
gonna
well,
kick your ass later. Deuces.
Yeah, live to fight another day. You know what? We like our pilots, so we're just gonna bring them back with us if that's cool.
Yeah.
And
so before we get to the last section of this episode, this is why I fucking love Ramba Rao. Because literally, this is his first introduction, and the first thing we learn about him effectively is everything Char is, Ramba's the opposite. Char
Ramba
is a fantastic lone wolf pilot who's young, this young pretty boy who hides his face and kicks ass and snarks the whole time, basically uses people, just throws them under the bus, and fucks shit up that way. Ramba Rao paints his
shit.
Yeah, he's a good dude who paints his shit blue, the opposite of red. Doesn't just upgrade something, he has a distinct suit for himself that fights in his way.
And you think, oh, that means he's, you know, he's obviously just in a better suit, that's why he survives. Like, all of his people are gonna die, right?
No.
No! He fucking orders them to retreat sometimes!
Yeah, he keeps his men alive to use them effectively, but also treats everyone really well on his ship. Like, we don't see a lot of that interaction. But
he's got to have been married for like 100 years at this point. Still really loves his wife.
Yeah, all of the interactions with her are clearly really nice. Like, there's none of that young love, star-crossed lover shit we saw with Garma. We didn't get any of Char being casually flirty with everything. No. Ramba and his wife, Hamong, just fucking flirt and are cool with each other and chill the fuck out.
They're just competent. Just competent adults. This is what happens when you don't have children fight.
But actually, though.
Uh-oh.
Like, that's what fucking Ramba do. He is the competent, loyal adult. He is everything that the rest of the characters have not been up to this point.
Do not understand how he hasn't won the war for Zeon already.
We get to that later, because there are reasons.
Oh, no!
No, there are reasons, and they're kind of fucking cool.
Awesome.
But,
all right.
Holy fuck. Ramba Rao's great, and if you want more of Ramba Rao outside of this, fun fucking fact. So, if you ever want a Gundam series, and this goes to you too, my dear audience, that is none of the story, just the fights, Gundam Build Fighters. It's very strange in that it takes place in a world where Gundam existed as a TV show, but and Gunpla plastic model kits also exist, but they figured out a way to animate them, and so they fight in tournaments.
Oh, jeez.
It's stupid and plot contrivance, but I love it, because it's just mech fights. I shit you not, the mentor character in the first season of Gundam Build Fighters is Mr. Rao.
Beautiful.
It's just Romba Rao. Like, Gundam Build Fighters is Gundam Heaven.
Beautiful.
When a Gundam character ceases to be in one world, if they were good and pure, they go to Gundam Heaven, and that's the Build Fighters universe. And fun fact, that's actually a headcanon for many people, because it keeps happening. And I love it. I love it so much, because it's a happy ending for everyone involved.
Awesome.
Anyway. Fucking love Romba Rao.
Yeah.
He's the tits. Honestly,
you should all just be fanning yourselves right now.
Like, the motherfucker pulls off a porn stash. Just...
And well.
That's hard to do. And he does it! Okay, anyway.
Anyway.
Let's get back to the last little part of this episode, because, here's the rest of the emotional gut punch. So, Amuro gets kind of left dick in hand, and, we start hearing Giren's speech of Garma's eulogy. And we cut to the Bridge of White Base, where they are watching this, because Zeon is broadcasting this in the entirety of the Earth Sphere. And Giren gives one hell of a fucking speech about how they will not only win, but conquer. White Base is watching, Romba is watching, and then we cut to Char wearing a white suit and sunglasses inside, because Char, getting a drink. When this guy walks up and pays for his drink, and Char immediately is like, "You're one of Caecilia's royal guardsmen, aren't you? How can you tell?" I mean, you're right, but how can you tell? You all smell the same. And then they keep watching. I'm sure that'll never come up again. Fraw walks up behind Amuro and, like, grabs his arm to, like, comfort him a little bit. And, he grabs her hand and just keeps fucking squeezing harder as Giren exclaims that Zeon will rise. Zeon desires your strength. Zeon shall win. So, yeah, Giren, Hitler speech is really hard. Because like, Space Germany.
Real good. It's actually pretty intense.
It's really intense. It's a really good speech, too.
Also, we missed it earlier, but didn't, the siblings, didn't they say at some point, "Hey, we've got to fucking wreck Char for letting Garma die," right?
Well, so the siblings really wanted Char's head on a plate, but, right. Degwin was like, "Just demote him, for fuck's sake. Like, he's good at his job. Just demote him. And for fuck's sake, can we not have a funeral?" But that's a different hill to die on.
Yep.
So the crowd chants back the Sig Zeon, and their cries basically play out the episode as Amuro stares in awe of, "Oh, that's Zeon. That's who I'm fighting."
Mm-hmm.
And
pretty intense.
Yeah, Bright kind of tries to reassure him. Doesn't fucking work.
No, someone needs to hug this poor fucking boy.
Someone needs to give Amuro a hug, some love,
hot cocoa,
hot marshmallowy hot cocoa, just like a pat on the back, like, "You're doing good, buddy. We're real proud of you." Take you a breather this. For. Take, like, a half day. Yeah, like, sleep in tomorrow. Okay? Just sleep in. You fucking earned it, my guy.
You know what? Maybe one of these useless-ass civilians is a therapist? We can...
Yeah, yeah.
You know what? I can just have them sit there and you can talk to them?
I'll just use one of the civilian slaves, and they will be your therapist.
They'll be happy to not be in the ammo mines.
Exactly. The ammo mines are a hellscape compared to listening to you bitch for, like, an hour a day. Later we learn that, in fact, the slave civilian would rather mine ammo. Because Amuro just doesn't shut the fuck up.
He's got a lot of problems.
Amuro's got a lot of problems, and frankly, fair. It's only going to get worse.
Buddy.
Buddy. That poor fucking kid. Next episode, we get to meet his mom. That's pretty neat.
I'm sure that'll be good, right? No!
It doesn't go very well.
Oh.
Yeah, bad things happen. Coming home. Will you be able to survive? Interestingly, the tagline of many people's Thanksgiving.
Amuro!
Fucking give him a hug.
Well, I hope you enjoyed episode 12 of Mobile Suit Fandom. If you want to yell about how either of us are garbage or that you like what we do, you can find us on Twitter with @MobileSuitPod and our personal Twitters from there. Also, if you're new to the Gundam franchise as a whole and really want to give it a try, check out the official Gundam YouTube channel, Gundam Info. They have a bunch of shows legally for free. Until next time, mech fans, remember, Gearin is Space Hitler.